Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful planet of ours. You are the inspired and the inspiration. How's everybody doing out there? All of our inspired listeners all around the world. Thank you so much for tuning in to the live broadcast. This is Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, your host for today's show, as we talk about relationship sanity, creating and maintaining healthy relationships. We have our special guest that's going to be joining us just in a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to give out some information, how to connect with the Inspired Living Radio team. If you want to listen to the live broadcast right now that is broadcasting through the internet, you can listen to it on any device anywhere around the world. No password needed, no username needed, and we have a lot of fun here on Inspired Living Radio. If you want to call into the show, we will be opening up the phone lines the second half of the show relationships to this topic, relationship sanity, that we're going to be talking about. So today is all about relationships. We've got an awesome guest, a great book, and if you want to call in, that number to call in at the second half of the show is 202-570-7057. That is the Ohm Times radio call-in line, and it's a great way to interact with the show live. You can also go right now to our social media page, Facebook, which is Inspired Living Radio. It is our community of inspired listeners all around the globe. If you don't want to come on live on air with me and our special guest today, no problem. You can post a question there, and we will try to bring your questions live to air. You can also catch our other social media sites on Twitter and Instagram under the handles Inspired For Us. That is the number 4. And you can also find us on Google Plus Communities under Inspired Living Radio. You can catch all of our encore shows through YouTube, SoundCloud, Podbean, iTunes, lovefirst.info, marklanehart.com. And so if you don't catch a live show right now, head on over to one of those platforms and catch one of our podcasts. We've moved into our fourth season of Inspired Living Radio and just very happy to be here. Today, Kim, my co-host, Kim Falcon, founder of Love First, is off today, so I'm going to be hosting solo. If you want to learn more about the work Kim is doing in Richmond, Virginia on the East Coast, she can be found at lovefirst.info. If you just type up Kim Falcon, Love First Info, she'll pop up. You'll be able to connect with her. She does amazing work, bi-coastal work in both Richmond, Virginia and Encino, California. If you want to work with me directly, happy to do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold. You can find me at marklanehart.com or just do an internet search for the Intuitive Prospector. So with that, every month we like to have our positive affirmation, just to remind you throughout the month of things to think on, to say to yourself, to reflect on, and with it approaching the last Wednesday of January, all month we've been talking about I love and honor my body, and that is our positive affirmation for this month. I love and honor my body. And the positive affirmation has a sponsorship now, so we'd like to read the sponsorship. It's Prime My Body Affiliate Awareness from Soil to Oil and one of the best absorption rated nano enhanced hemp oils on the market, an all natural plant-based supplement with no psychoactive highs and legal in all 50 states. From liquid hemp oil, hemp infused skin moisturizer, hemp protein superfood, or a simple liver detoxification system, start achieving your health and wellness goals naturally from the leaves and rootstock of this amazing healing and ancient plant, hemp. Your health is your wealth. For more information, please visit awareness.primemybody.com. And with that, we're going to be talking with our special guest today, Mark Borg Jr. He's a PhD and is a community and clinical psychologist and psychoanalyst practicing in New York City. He is the founding partner of the Community Consulting Group, a consulting firm that trains community stakeholders, local governments, and other organizations to use psychoanalytic techniques. We'll be talking about that. What is a psychoanalytic technique? In community rebuilding and revitalizing, he is a supervisor of psychotherapy at the William Allison White Institute and has written extensively about the intersections of psychoanalysis and community crisis intervention. Boy, that's a tongue twister. he has published numerous articles and book chapters on community intervention, organizational consultation, psychoanalytic therapy, and the application of psychoanalytic theory and technique to improve and streamline the process of community crisis intervention. Mark, welcome to Inspired Living Radio.
I am very happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Great book, very really an interesting read. The book, it's called Relationship Sanity, Creating and Maintaining Healthy Relationships. And we just also want to make note that Mark wrote this book in with two other authors, Grant Brenner, MD, and Daniel Berry, who's an RN and an MHA for this book. But today we just have Mark on the line with us, going to be talking about relationships, because most of us want to be in a loving, honest, open-hearted relationship, but few of us are aware that we may also be afraid of intimacy. So we're going to be talking about that. Mark, kind of just introduce yourself, why you wrote the book, and what puts you on this path to be talking about relationship sanity.
Okay, well, you know, so Grant and Danny and I, we've known each other for quite a while. We're actually neighbors from the East Village, New York. And, you know, I have an ex who was good friends with Grant. And during the time of our breakup, I started thinking a lot about, you know, what had been going on in that relationship. And I started thinking about a concept that I was seeing in my patients that I was feeling myself. And I called the concept initially human antidepressant. And I started looking at this way in which people, myself included at the time, were involved in compulsive caretaking in ways that I began to suspect might actually be serving defensive purposes. That being, the more that I found myself compulsively caretaking, especially someone in a romantic relationship, or if I saw my patients doing the same, the more I started to question, what is that doing? Is it possible that by sort of quote unquote, and actually caring for somebody, I'm actually pushing care at them in a way that doesn't allow them to care for me? And so I started to think that if this process, this human antidepressant process, this compulsive caretaking, was actually operating to make it impossible for someone to offer care back to me or to my patients, then maybe there was more to the story. I started exploring it. This is going back to 2010. I started exploring it with Grant Brenner and Danny Berry, and we wrote I originally had written a paper called Human Antidepressant, and we started going after this idea, and we started working on a book together. But as we went on, we started to think that maybe it wasn't just a pathology, maybe it wasn't some compulsion, maybe it wasn't sort of an addictive habit that people pushed onto other people, but maybe it was something that people were actually doing with their partners, that it wasn't just this one person imposing this caretaking dynamic on the other, but it was two people coming together and creating relationships that actually were sort of intimacy proof. In other words, two people would come together thinking, believing consciously that they wanted love, they wanted affection, they wanted, you know, ongoing intimacy, vulnerability, etc., only to find that the way in which they were caretaking each other was creating a defense against the very thing they wanted, and we call that irrelationship. And Irrelationship was the first book that Grant, Danny, and I wrote, and Relationship Sanity is the answer to irrelationship, or it's sort of the recovery model.
Oh, I love that. And you said you started writing this back, the concept started to come to fruition in 2010. Did I hear that correctly?
Correct. Yeah. I'd known, 2010. So we've been working on this for, this is our ninth year of working together on this.
Yeah, and what's, as I was listening to that, because I'm always thinking of other things as well in conjunction with synergy and synchronicity and flow of what you're doing. So the last time in 2010 was actually in numerology was the year of the three, and the three energy is known as a self creative expressive type of energy, and we're back now in a year of the three in 2019. So you've gone a full cycle of 9 years, which that's what you do in numerology. You go 9 years and then you start over, but you've picked a perfect time to launch the book in 20 to get it out there and get people talking about it more in 2019 because it is a self-expressive creative year. So, I always think back in 2010, that's when social media really started to pick up for people. Facebook and LinkedIn and Reddit and all of those social media sites. And now in 2019, we're moving in that same energy. So it's going to be fun to watch how this book connects with people around the world and how people can really start applying, as you said, the answer. This book is kind of the answers to the follow-up of the first book where people can really start to dig in. And what I loved about the book, Mark, is as far as it has this, it utilizes quizzes and exercises and assessment charts. And so as you're reading through the book, you're like, oh, here, let me stop and let's do an exercise together and do application in real time, which I think is a very powerful, I don't know if you would actually call this a self-help book or a self-guide book. I don't know what it would actually fall under. But as I was reading that, my wife and I were kind of reading through some of the concepts, because we've been together for 25 years, we've been married for 23 years, so you're always looking to, refine and renew your relationship status and what you're doing. But real quick, for the inspired listeners out there listening to today's show, where's the best way to go and get the book, whether hard copy, digital version? What are some of the outlets that the book is being promoted out on?
Well, the easiest way to get it really is just to go to Amazon, because Amazon has the hard copy, the Kindle, the Audible. So, and interestingly, we've actually found that people are mostly turning on to the Audible because, like you said, it's actually a book that you do with your partner. So we think that, whether it's self-help, whether it's pop psych, whether it's whatever, so, it's psychoanalytic light, et cetera. But we also think that it's sort of, we call it self-other help, because this book in our first book, we actually, every single exercise, we ask the reader to invite somebody in to co, to cut, like, to take on the exercises as a coupledom, or even sometimes friendship, or, because we don't just see this dynamic playing out in romantic relationships. We see it at work. We see it with friends. We have two blogs on Psychology Today. One's called Dear Relationship and one's called Relationship Sanity. And in the 4 years, 4.5 years that we've been writing blogs on Psychology Today, we've addressed this dynamic from many, many, many different angles.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And one of the things as I was, it created some interesting conversation as my wife and I went through the book and tried doing some of the different exercises. Because when you've been together for 25 plus years, we're not the same people we were 25 years ago. We've grown and we've learned and we've transformed. And every marriage has, we like to say, it's hills and it's valleys, but it's how you stay the course and stay in that relationship. And for the book, you talked about this book being perfect for those who become lonely in their relationships. So I wanted to talk about that, because I know that there are people that have been married for a long time and they may feel lonely in their relationship. And we always find, like I said, new ways to keep it creative and spicy in, the longevity of it. But could you go into just a little bit more detail about how this book is perfect for those that have become lonely in their relationship?
Well, I mean, in fact, that really is the core of what the book is about. And we find that most of the people who have responded to the writing, to the blog, to the book, are people who have at some point in their relationship looked at their partner who they'd been with for months or sometimes decades. I'm working with a couple right now that's been together for 60 years. And this couple that have 60 years of marriage, and they're wonderful and I love them, and they're really turning on to some of these ideas, saying, wow, the way that we have been together through all of these years is such that we have some very essential parts of ourselves that we have not exposed to each other. Well, that's the start. When one person reaches over to the other, in this case it was the woman who reached over to the man, and she said, I miss you. I miss you. And I want to go see this guy. I want to go see this shrink down in the, you know, Flatiron District in New York City. And what they've done is they've constructed, they've developed a model of understanding for their relationship where they're actually able to see that some of the things that brought them together. You know, he's somebody who, like, compulsively caretakes, and he's been all over her, and he's always kind of – we think in terms of either – the metaphor is either an octopus or a fire hose. Like, that's how he's delivering care, right? And yeah, so she, yeah, for 60 years, she said, look, that delivery system doesn't work. That delivery system doesn't work. And what we finally figured out is that that's why they got together, because she had been traumatized in her upbringing by a very invasive mother, and her mother had taught her how to really detect when someone was coming at you. So she picked a guy that would never sneak up on her. He would never give her a surprise attack when it came to intimacy and love and affection. So she basically chose this guy because he couldn't reach her. But, you know, over the course of 6 years, they actually are fond of each other. They really care about each other. They've had several kids. They've had success in business and failures and all the ups and downs of life. And now, at 60 years into a relationship, they were lonely. And the very dynamic that allowed them to, you know, feel like they couldn't reach each other and therefore were safe, because at the core of this for these two was also the idea, and I think a lot of us have this idea, that if anybody ever really got to know the real me, they wouldn't like me. They couldn't possibly care for me. So that was so strong in them, mostly because of how they'd been treated by their parents. I mean, we're going back 80 years, right?
They
finally said, you know, the loneliness was finally heavier and more frightening and more salient than the fear of being known as they really were, as they really are. So they started to take this process. They started to take this journey. They started to put down their compulsive caretaking routines and let each other start to get to know and like and care about each other. And the missing piece that I haven't really touched on yet is, you know, the compulsive caretaker, usually we think of that person as the one with the fire hose, the one who's spraying care.
Yeah,
but in your relationship, we also, as you know if you've read the book, we also have a weird position that we call the audience. And the audience actually cares for the overtly compulsive caretaker by acting as if the care delivered is actually effective when it's not.
Interesting. Well, we're going to continue talking about this as we move into our first break, and there's the whistling. Again, an essential guide that we're talking about today. It's got great and valuable tools for anyone seeking healthier connections with their partners, loved ones, and colleagues. Special guest today, Mark Borg Jr., talking about the book Relationship Sanity, Creating and Maintaining Healthy Relationships. We'll be back here on Inspired Living Radio in 2 minutes.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim, our special guest today, Mark Borg Jr., talking about the book Relationship Sanity, Creating and Maintaining Healthy Relationships. And just a reminder for our listening audience out there, if you miss a live show today, make sure to go to iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, or Podbean. You can catch all of our four seasons of Encore shows there. Ohm Times Radio Archives is also a place. And if you like what we're doing throughout the week, every Wisdom Wednesday here on Inspired Living Radio at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, make sure to follow up with myself every Monday morning for Metaphysical Mocha Mondays through Facebook Live and YouTube, where I connect directly with you. And then on Fridays, Kim is closing out the week of inspiration with her Aloha Freedom Fridays through Facebook Live and YouTube as well. Love to have you subscribe and get on board with the Spiritual Prospectors every week. We have a lot of inspiration throughout the week. So again, thanks for being here. So Mark, right before the break there, great point. I wanted to get into a little bit more in depth about learned behaviors or child learning, as far as when it comes to relationships, and talk about why you wrote Relationship Sanity as a follow up to the first book, but also about why we resist loving others and being loved ourselves. That's a really great important point that we found in the book. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I found my favorite chapter to be chapter 13, the alternatives of the book. And my wife and I were married on the 13th, so it just kind of resonated several years ago. But let's pick it back up. Let's continue to dive deeper into this book, Relationship Sanity, Creating and Maintaining Healthy Relationships, written by both yourself, Grant Brenner, and Daniel Berry.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, that's a lot there. Yes, the alternatives. I love that chapter too. But also, I think – what you really started off with is that idea, where does this come from in childhood? And what we found, I was inspired years ago by the work of a guy named Harold Searles, and he wrote this great chapter in a book called The Patient as Therapist to His Analyst. And what his assumption was, after many, many, many years of dealing with very, very disturbed individuals, psychiatric patients who actually most of the world at that time didn't even believe were treatable. And what he found with this incredibly difficult population of people who were in immense pain and living in terrible fear is that each human being needs to feel like they can make a valuable, viable contribution to another human being. In fact, he believed that from birth, just about, human beings need to feel like they can make a positive impact on each other, that he saw that even in very young children, looking for the smile in their mother's face, looking for a way of believing that their actions, were impacting their world, and initially a world to a child is actually experienced through other people. So Searles started seeing in these schizophrenic, oftentimes, patients that when he allowed them to see that they were affecting him in a positive way, that it wasn't just him treating them as a psychoanalyst and psychiatrist, but that they were helping him. They were making him feel good. They gave him a reason. They gave him a career. They gave him, you know, income, whatever, whatever. But the more that he allowed people to feel like they were being, that he was being positively impacted, the better they started to become. And so this was one of the original inspirations for this project, that we believe that from a very young age, children, if they see that their environment / world / parent, primary caretaker, is not well. Let's say that the mother is depressed. Let's say that the father is, addicted. Let's say that there is anxiety or psychiatric illness. What the kid does is the kid starts to gear his, her whole character and personality to try to make sure that they can have a positive impact on that mood, most especially. See, a kid's not going to say, oh, my mom's depressed. The kid's going to say that my mom's not happy. And the kid's going to develop a routine to make that person happy. Really, the reason why they're making them happy is so they can function and go on to be a viable caretaking parent. But the kid doesn't know that. And so if the kid becomes committed to caretaking a parent at a very young age, and let's say there really is deep unhappiness in the parent, and the kid develops an effective routine, let's say that the kid is funny, let's say that the kid is really smart and is good and gets good grades in school, let's say that the kid is absent and doesn't really tax the mother's resources, if the kid sees and believes that that's having a positive impact on that parent, the kid will then undertake that as a role and will go out into the world, and rather than being in reciprocity with the world, rather than being in sync and actually being in a give and take with the world, the kid will go out there believing that it's his, her job to fix, to compulsively caretake, not even realizing that they're giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and not allowing themselves to receive. So that's where we see sort of the buildup of this. And, you know, that's their relationship. But when we get to relationship sanity, it's kind of simple. We say, you know, like, put the fire hose down, you know, put it down. You don't realize
that. Stop drinking from the fire hose.
That's right. Stop drinking. Stop spraying it, you know, stop blasting.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I had this couple in my office one time, and there were these two guys, and the one guy was like, you know, basically shouting at his partner, like, I do so much for you. I, you know, bring home the money, and I have this great role, and I'm, you know, going to my therapy, and I'm getting better. And, you know, all these things he was trying to convince his partner that he was doing for him. And I finally, like, stood up in my chair, and I go, you're being so selfish. And the guy's like, what? Excuse me? And I couldn't – nobody ever said that to him before. Nobody. I said, do you know how selfish it is for you to be the only one in this relationship who has anything good to give? You're the only one. By you giving and giving and giving, you don't ever let your partner here give to you and feel like he's got something good to give. You know, this dynamic is so treacherous in relationships because especially the person who's compulsively caregiving overtly really is convinced that he's like some kind of a, you know, rescuer, fixer, you know, I mean, it and completely unreachable. That moment was like a transformational moment for me. Because I really, in that session with these two guys, you know, I credit them a lot because in that moment I was like, aha, this, this
the
is
aha
what,
moment.
You know, yeah, this is the aha. This is what irrelationship really looks like. And I got a chance to see these guys work through that. I got a chance to see the aha moment. I called them kind of silly because they were both actors. And I called one of them Broadway because he's this Broadway. He was really working on Broadway. And I called the other one off Broadway because he was really struggling. But they put their weapons down. They put the weapons of compulsive caretaking down, and Broadway started to realize that he had not let off Broadway ever give to him in any kind of meaningful way. And he was so vengeful, and he was so resentful, and he was so hurt and feeling so overlooked. He didn't even realize that it was his defense against allowing his partner to matter that was isolating him. It was his defense against allowing off Broadway to give to him that was fueling his own bitter resentment and righteousness.
And how powerful and transformative to be a part of that, to see it yourself. You're in the learning process and in kind of that aha moment for you, like you said, and the awareness for both of them to kind of put those, you know, defensive mechanisms down. I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking of Eckhart Tolle that talks about awareness is the greatest agent for change. And if you want to change something, you got to, you know, sometimes we don't know what we don't know, but when there's awareness and awareness is brought into our arena, then you're like, oh, okay, I didn't think about it that way. And I loved how you named a Broadway and off Broadway. That's fantastic. And not just with relationships in a romantic, but I would say even just the same concept as far as professional colleagues and our friends. And sometimes, you know, especially in this day and age, there just seems to be a lot of lack of civility and lack of people wanting to work together in relationships. And I'm sure, you know, working in this arena full time, you see a lot of this. I'm just curious, Mark, what is the current, I don't know, what's the current divorce rate for marriages in relationships, people getting married and then getting divorced in the United States? Is there a figure on that? Is it, I know.
Well, I mean, look, I just have to be honest with you, especially being someone who works with couples and I'm, you know, sort of a quote relationship expert and blah, blah, blah. I've written these books and I write a lot of blogs, whatever. And, you know, it's funny because at this point, I think it might even be less about what the real figure is and more about the fact that most of us, including me, have kind of internalized this idea that about half relationships fail, whether they're marriages, whether they're, you know, like attempts, or in New York, you know, we have so many people who, you know, cohabitate and they move in pretty quickly because things are really expensive. And, you know, there's all these like practical reasons why people, you know, make things happen really quickly. So, you know, I think that that statistic has been pretty solid, the 50%, you know, divorce rate. But I think what I'm seeing, and Grant and Danny and I are seeing, is that in some funny way, even if that rate starts to go up, even if we go from a 50 to a 70 or 80, even in the opposite direction, you know, now it's only 20. One of the things that your relationship is starting to make us question is whether or not it's not a really horrible thing sometimes when people, rather than figure this stuff out or decide not to figure this stuff out and let each other go, they stay together in these lonely, miserable places where they're just protecting themselves, not only from each other, because certainly, you know, your relationship protects the two people from the intimacy that they might perpetrate, you know, against each other. But the other interesting thing that I find is that in your relationship, you're not just protected against your partner who might, you know, threaten you with intimacy, you're also protected against the like 8 million other people outside your relationship who might be willing to be in a relationship that works. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that like a bad marriage, a marriage that is intimacy free, is also a place to hide from other relationships that have potential that might, you know, in fact, I can say, you know, I say a little warily that going back to when I met Grant and Danny and started working on this, I actually, you know, was in a relationship that was very much like an ear relationship. And I realized that if I stayed in that relationship, it would have been fine. Career was going fine. I had friends. Everything was good. I had good family. You know, all sorts of good stuff were going on. But I wasn't being challenged to be intimate with this person. We had developed into sort of a collegial business relationship, and I would have been perfectly safe from intimacy if I had stayed in that relationship. And that, and making the decision to go out and face the great challenge of being loved was exactly what had to happen. And my second marriage has just been, you know, almost from the moment we met, it's just been this challenge just to remain open and intimate, sort of the way you're describing being in your relationship with your wife after all these years, you know, constantly reinventing, constantly, you know, you know, taking every kind of misstep as an opportunity to work together to fix it, believing that every opportunity that two people have to fix a problem is also an opportunity for real intimacy.
Yeah, I love that. I was just thinking, you know, because my wife and I, we always tease each other when we get into that roommate. We feel like we're roommates at times, you know, just for the facts. Like, okay, how do you get back to the intimacy? How do you get back to the connecting in a relationship? And, you know, you were talking about, you know, the root cause analysis, getting to that root cause as far as why relationships end. And I know being here in Seattle, which is, you know, we talked about Amazon, which is, you know, kind of the capital of Amazon right now.
Right.
It's expensive here, and people get together for several different reasons, history, past, marriages being arranged, or for financial gain, or for status gain. And so, you know, it's just, it's interesting when it does come to relationships, because we have so many different relationships, you know, intimately, platonic, colleagues, you know, all these different relationships. And so what I liked about the book, and we're going to be approaching our second break here, but I want to get into some of the tools as well that I really enjoyed. Like I said, my favorite chapter was chapter 13, because I'm always looking for alternatives and things that you can work with. But you have a few models, the GRAFTS assessment, G-R-A-F-T-S, the 40-20-40, compassion, empathy, the dream sequence, all in the book. And again, if you want to get the book, Relationship Sanity, Creating and Maintaining Healthy Relationships, which we are all prospecting for and searching for, you can get the information off our closed Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio. We have Mark's bio and information for the book. You can also go to Amazon and order the book. And you're right, a lot of people, myself included, are moving to the audio format. For those that are, you know, traveling or commuting, it's a great way just to, you know, get that download and listen to the book audio. And I know a lot of people are making that shift and listening versus actually reading.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this book in particular, I think, lends itself to that because, you know, I don't think I've ever listened to a book on tape except when I was doing the edits for these. But it's really interesting with this book because it's a book you can actually listen to with your partner, especially while doing these exercises that you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I, like I said, my wife and I were actually just, as I was kind of going through it, we kind of gave it a go. And not that you dated yourself, but you did say tape. And in the digital age, it's usually a download that you listen to your phone. It's like when I say vinyl or LP, I'm like, somebody looks at me, a younger generation says, what's an LP? What's a vinyl record? What's a tape? So,
that's exactly right.
We're kind of dating ourselves here.
Indeed.
As far as if people want to work directly with you, though, as well, Mark, what's the best way to get in contact with you if they want to work with you in a relation for their relationships
We have a website called the website is irrelationship.com. It's www.irrelationship.com, and you know, we offer workshops. We've done we do consultations. I'm also an individual psychotherapist / psychoanalyst in New York, and you can just look me up online, Mark B. Borg Jr. And you know, it's funny because we're really right now we're so involved in continuing this process. You know, we're working on the third book, and the third book is really kind of trying to take a look at what your relationship looks like when you're not in a couple. You know, the ways in which we might have internalized some of these dynamics and might be separating ourselves and making it difficult for ourselves to access love and care and kindness and compassion. You know, as we've been talking about.
Awesome. Let's go to our second break, and when we come back, we'll get into the tools and continue talking about what you just said as far as relationships. So we have our special guest today, Mark B. Borg Jr., talking about the book Relationship Sanity, Creating and Maintaining Healthy Relationships. We'll be back here in 2 minutes on Inspired Living Radio.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. Today's guest, Mark B. Borg Jr., coming in from New York, live on the telephone with us, talking about the book Relationship Sanity, Creating and Maintaining Healthy Relationships. It's a great book that enables readers to counteract the detrimental ingrained behaviors that negatively impact adult relationships. And we were going to open the phone lines, but you know what? Just let our producer know that we're going to close the phone lines. I want to keep talking about this, Mark. I think there's really good content here that I think people would love to listen to. The shows go by so quick. This hour just cruised by. Let's pick up where we went right before the break, talking about the relationships, being lonely in the relationships, learn behaviors. So we're not going to open up our phone lines for our callers today, because I think it's just important to kind of get through some of the content of this book that people can really resonate with. Is that great? Does that work for you?
Yeah, perfect. I feel awesome. The same way. I was just looking at the clock. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. Welcome to Inspired Living Radio. We have a lot of fun and it cruises by.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do open the phone lines, but I want to just continue with our conversation. So let's
Sounds
pick
good.
It back up and let's keep it going.
All right.
So before the break, revisiting what you were talking about as far as the relationships, being lonely in the relationship, learn behaviors of, you know, integrate relationship patterns. Can you break these patterns? Can we use the tools in the book? I know we talked about the 40-20-40 tool. How can we use the concepts and the tools in the book and actually apply them to relationships, either with intimacy or professional colleagues or friends or family?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the you mentioned the graphs model, you mentioned the 40-20-40, you mentioned the dream sequence. You know, all of these, it's so interesting how this stuff arises, because Grant and Danny and I, as I said, we've been working since 2010, and I really like what you said about that being, you know, that three is the number of the year. I mean, it really, you know, the synchronicity of that makes a lot of sense to me, because you know, we came together not really knowing exactly what we were doing. In fact, in some funny ways, we started to enact, which is a psychoanalytic term meaning play out in relationship. We started to play out. We could call it transference, counter-transference. We started to take these patterns from our own history, and we started to play them out in our dynamic, the three of us. You know, I was really very much the compulsive caretaker, and I was like, I'm going to help these guys, these poor guys. You know, poor Dr. Grant Brenner, you know, the medical director of the William Allison White Institute, poor Danny Berry, this administrator at a big-time nursing home, for very, very you know, very people who are in extreme conditions of poverty. Both of these guys have like these really big, good jobs, very dedicated to their relationships, to their families. And the three of us came together, these three men who were all, in a way, the kings of our own castle. I have my practice. I have the community consulting group. These three guys, you know, these three men that come together to do the most unstereotypical male thing, which is to address intimacy. And so here I am saying, like, I'm going to help you guys. I'm going to, you know, help you guys be published authors. I'm going to help develop this whole theory, you know, all this kind of stuff, only to realize that I was playing out the very dynamics that we were exploring together and the way in which we had to work through our own human antidepressant / irrelationship dynamics is exactly how we came up with the tools that we then wound up offering our readership. That, and interestingly, I think really importantly, was that a lot of what actually wound up becoming Relationship Sanity was a response to readers from our Psychology Today blog after they had read Irrelationship, and we're still like, hey guys, thanks a lot for writing Irrelationship. Thank you very much for telling us about this big, huge epidemic problem in our society. Please, we need more help. It was really great that in your relationship you gave us a few little exercises, but Relationship Sanity is our attempt to actually address the questions that were lingering from the publication of the first book. So Grant and Danny and I, you know, we would have these weekly meetings, and at every single meeting we would sit down and we would work on our own tools together. In fact, we used to sit down at this restaurant called Neptune in the East Village every Friday afternoon, and we would do a 40-20-40. And the 40-20-40 is a couple/relationship inventory where every person in the relationship, usually it's just a couple, but we did it with the three of us, was trying to take responsibility for their part of whatever issue is at hand. It's a tool that creates a safe space for partners to interact. It creates a middle ground, this 20% for negotiating issues created by differences. You know, it really allowed us to each come to the relationship and start owning our contributions to whatever issue is at hand. And that's not just like our bad contributions. That's not like, how am I damaging this project? It's also the good, you know, and in doing so, we started to recognize that when we each took ownership for our part of the relationship, we started to actually feel the relationship as this third thing, that the relationship itself is its own entity, that there's Grant, there's Danny, there's Mark, and then there's us, this growing usness that actually happens when people can take accountability, responsibility, ownership for what they're bringing into this. So this is how we really developed this tool that now we're, you know, implementing for couples, and couples who are reading these books are starting to really engage and find a way of, you know, opening, using that to create safety, to create ownership, and to actually start to develop, you know, a safe way to be intimate with each other.
I love that. Yeah, just, you know, iron sharpens iron, and that collaborative, creative energy that brought together. I was just curious who was the 20 and the 40-20-40, being that you based it on the three of you. And I'm just
right,
kidding.
Right.
You know, as far as
– Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, because I would imagine that if you sat with the three of us, we'd all kind of claim like, oh, yeah, you know, like, you know, because we're like a band, right? You know, and the band
Well,
who's the lead singer and who's the drummer and who's the lead guitar and blah, blah. You know, of course, everybody wants to be the singer. Nobody wants to be.
Nobody wants to be Ringo.
Yeah, right. Nobody wants to be Ringo. So thankfully, you know, none of us are Ringo. We all get to be the singer. We all get to play the guitar. We all get to play the drum. Right. We all switch, you know, I think. That's really the only way that we can actually, the three of us, co-own this project. And I think in a funny way, metaphorically, that's the only way that you can really co-own any relationship, to say, I am this and that, that there is a synergy here that is created by every single thing that we bring with us into the relationship. And the more that that relationship can consciously make room for all that we bring, the more we are going to feel loved, cared about, and accepted as we really are. Not hiding out those old things about us that we feel were responsible for us being hurt and rejected in our upbringing. You know, those things come with us. We might have, you know, camouflaged them or hidden them pretty well, but they are with us all the time. And causing effect, you know, having influence and causing effect. So yeah, the more we get to be fully, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Well, I was just going to say, you know, just that middle ground that you're talking about, and especially right now, I know you said that you've worked with governments, but even just our modern day politics could benefit from something of this nature. Because I find that people, you know, when it comes to politics, and we're not a political show, but when people, especially in this day and age, are so divided, it's like we usually have more, if we just take the time to find a middle ground and negotiate our issues through a middle ground, a give and take, not a zero-sum game, you'll find that we have a lot more in common with people than we think. And so have you been I know in your bio you said you worked with some governments. Is this something that could be, you know, introduced to our modern-day politics, or is it just too far gone?
Well, I mean, again, I think the problem with politics is that, I mean, and politicians, I think, is that they're so convinced that they have to have this bright and shiny image that somehow or other, you know, you have to be presenting the world this image that you think the world can trust. I don't think we've yet convinced the world in general that you actually trust someone that you know. You trust – I have a funny take on trust. I think of trust the same way that probability behavioral statistics thinks of regression to the mean. I think regression to the mean, it essentially means that all – behavior sort of goes back to its average, so that if you're somebody who's very kind and generous and loving, you might have a few days where you're walking down the street and you knock somebody over, whatever. You might have some extremely different behaviors, but in general, if you're a kind, generous, loving person, you're going to go back to that, even if you know sometimes are more generous or sometimes less loving. And so the problem for us is that what we trust is what we actually see. So if I'm with somebody for 20 years, I trust that that person's going to act like him or herself. You know, if that person lies, I'm going to, quote, trust that they lie. And I think in a funny way, we have this trust with the government too, that we trust that they're out for themselves. We trust that they're more interested in being elected than they are actually doing their job. We trust all these things. And so we don't really, they don't have a lot of wiggle room. You know, we don't have a real synchrony. We don't have a real synergy, as you said, between us and our politicians. They're too busy performing, using irrelationship language. They're too busy doing the performance and not letting themselves be human to see what a real human politician might look like. I don't think we've seen a whole lot of that.
Yeah, and God forbid cross the aisle, and that's negative talk, right? So,
right.
You know, I think in this year, just kind of talking when we opened the show about the 2019, because it is a very creative, expressive type of three energy, because we're in the year of the three, and I have no doubt, Mark, that I think that when you guys came together in New York on a Friday to create Relationship Sanity and the tools that are in the book, I can tell you that probably the same thing's going to happen this year for the three of you again, whether it's a new book or it's another aha moment, because it's, like I said, it's a 9-year cycle and it's right in line with the synchronicity or the flow or the synergy of what's going on, both within the internal worlds of ourselves, but the external world. And so just thought I'd let you know that from more of a psychic prediction, that 2019 is going to be another aha moment to possibly give birth to a third book or trilogy, the Return of the Jedi, if you will, of this series. But as far as the GRAFTS assessments, I really liked it because the GRAFTS, so GRAFTS assessment, good, right, absent, funny, tense, and smart is what GRAFTS stands for. Can you just touch on that just a little bit, and the compassionate empathy as well, because I found those to be very important.
Okay, so going back to what we talked about earlier about the way in which a child might detect and a child will detect the mood of his/her parent, especially the primary caretaker, what the GRAFTS assessment does is if you are a child and you are in a caretaking relationship with your parent that you think is not well, let's just say a kid doesn't think of it as being depressed or anxious or schizophrenic or addicted, kid just sees a parent and says, this parent isn't happy. What can I do to make that parent happy? And the GRAFTS assessment is basically that kid's primary way that he or she went about trying to make the parent happy. So So if my parent was unhappy and I acted really good all the time and my parent seemed to elevate their mood, I'm going to take that on. I'm going to become good, constantly good. Same is true of funny, smart, tense. There are some people who actually, there are some parents who basically get empowered by feeling like their kid needs help, and that would be the tense kid. I think a big one, and especially big for the audience role, is absent. I think a lot of kids see their parents or believe that their parents' mood is elevating because they're not burdening their parents with their, you know, wants and needs and whatever, and I think that's particularly sad. So, you know, the GRAPS assessment is basically the role in which we call it a song and dance routine. A song and dance routine is the way that a human antidepressant goes about trying to make their primary caretaker or eventually their spouse, their colleague, sort of quote, well. So that's what the GRAPS assessment is, and I think most of us kind of relate. We can see, like, for instance, me, you know, I really related because in high school I was sort of this clown, right? So I was this funny guy, and I realized that, you know, my parents got divorced when I was very young, and it was very, very painful divorce for my mother who I was living with. I was a very silly guy. I was just constantly silly, goofing this and that and whatever, and that is the way that I tried to make my mother less unhappy. So, you know, go figure. I came into my world and I'm just like, you know, the singing shrink or whatever, you know, like, not, it's funny as like a 5-year-old who's trying to help his parent. It's not so funny as, you know, a person who's in his career, you know, sometimes seeming as if he's not taking, say, his wife's concern seriously. You know, because my wife doesn't want me to be a performer. My wife doesn't want me to be silly and, you know, avoiding, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, had a hard day at the office today, dear. Oh, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, doesn't work. So that's sort of a really brief, broad brushstroke on GRAPS. But the compassionate empathy really is our big, big, big – it's kind of the promise of the book. It's if you – drop your defenses. If you let yourself love and be loved, the way in which that gets expressed is through what we call compassionate empathy. It is this two-way street.
So with that, Mark, we're gonna leave it there because we want to leave our inspired listeners on the hook to check out this book, Relationship Sanity, Creating and Maintaining Healthy Relationships. Get the audiobook, get the hardback cover, and find out what Mark was just referring to as the big concept. Mark, thank you so much for being on Inspired Living Radio today. We always appreciate it. We're just touching the tip of the iceberg, guys. So, Mark, love to have you back in 2019.
Thanks, Mark.
And continue the conversation of part two with this. Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate
you. Thank you, Mark. Really great. And really great interview.
Thank you. And for our Inspired listeners, until our next soul adventure together,